Thank you, Gail. Okay, today we are looking at chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, and it has to do with Samuel booking Saul. So let's start. In today's study, our attention will be drawn to Saul's final rejection as king due to his disobedience in sparing Agag and the best of the Amalekite spoil. The study also highlights the fact that partial obedience in the sight of the Lord is regarded as outright disobedience. In the final analysis, the takeaway from the study is that our obedience to the Lord's word must be thorough. However, if we draw back, we will lose the crown. That was what happened to Saul, who was the Lord's elect, and it serves as a warning to us who are living in the closing days of the ages. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So let's start our study. The Lord rejects Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." This verse shows us that to be able to reign as kings in an age to come, we must be anointed. Being anointed in the Bible signifies being chosen by God for a special task or office, such as a king, prophet, priest, etc. This is usually symbolized by oil being poured on the head, which represents the Spirit of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13 says, "Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. As the Lord's elect, we have been anointed just like Saul. Samuel reminding Saul of his anointing in verse 1 is to show him that the anointing or the Spirit of the Lord is to help us to pay attention or walk according to his word. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Romans 8, 13 and 14. "For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you, through the spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. "That says the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, and how they laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." The Amalekites ambushing the Israelites when they came out of Egypt in verse 2 is to let us know that when we started our walk with the Lord, we were unsuspectingly unaware of our flesh as our enemy. In verse 3, the goal of our mandate as royals is marked out for us. That is to destroy the deeds of our flesh, symbolized by the Amalekites. That is man, woman, infant, and suckling. As we are aware, ox, sheep, camel, and ass all represents physical riches. Genesis chapter 30, verse 43 says, "And the man," that is Jacob, "increased exceedingly and had much cattle, and maid servants, and men servants, and camel, and asses. Therefore, the mandate to kill the ox, sheep, camel, and ass of the Philistines in verse 3 implies that we must do away or put to death the love of physical riches, which is part of our fleshly desires, which many in their quest to get rich have been drawn in destruction and ruin. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. The day that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hateful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Samuel 15, 4 and 6, 4 to 6. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Canaanites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites. It is important to note that the gathering of Saul's army was at Telaim, which means lambs. In the Bible, lambs on a positive note denote the Lord's elect, as shown in the following. Luke 10:3. "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lamb among wolves." John 21:15. "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, love thou me more than this?' And he said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' And he said unto him, 'Feed my lambs.'" These verses imply that Saul and the men gathered with him represent the Lord's elect. This is affirmed by their number, 200,000. And then we also have 10,000. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 16 and 17, it says that, "And next him was Amaziah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor." So this is to show you the positive application of the number 200,000. It brings out something. That's the men of valor. It represents the men of valor, mighty men of valor, which we the elect are. In verse 17 says, "And of Benjamin, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, and with him armed men with bows and shield, 200,000. Again, it expressed the fact that we are dealing with mighty men of valor, which represents the Lord's elect. Judges chapter 4, verse 14 says, "And Deborah said unto Barak, 'Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into thy hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee?' So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him." So the 10,000 men also represents, on the positive notes, the Lord's elect. Saul and his army laying wait in the valley and requesting the Canaanites to depart from the Amalekites before attacking them in verse 5 and 6 is to let us know that in our dealing with our flesh, we must exercise patience, lest we end up treating everything that comes out of our lives as being evil. It takes maturity to distinguish between the good seed that the Lord is sowing in our lives and the works of our flesh. This is emphasized by the Lord when he told the parable of the wheat and the tares, where he emphasized that it takes time to be able to identify the wheat from the tares. Matthew chapter 13, verse 29 and 30. "But he said, 'Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in my barn. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 7 to 9. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until they came to Sheer, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. The victory won by Saul and his army against the Amalekites, who represents our flesh, was achieved from Havilah up to Sheer. Havilah means circles, and Sheer means the wilderness of Edom. You must remember that it was in the wilderness that the Lord caused the Israelites to go in circles until they all died. The Israelites in the wilderness signifies the church system of this world. Therefore, Saul smiting the Amalekites from Havilah until Sheer implies that during our time in the churches of this world, we did win some victories over our flesh. However, we were not thorough with dealing with our flesh as we kept Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and got enticed with the riches or the wealth of this world, or mammon, signified by the sheep, oxen, the fatlings, and the lambs of the Amalekites. Luke 16, 13 says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Agag here represents the 10 horns of the beast, or the strength of our flesh. As long as the strength of our flesh has not been dealt with, we haven't won the war against our flesh. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10 to 12. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieves Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. The Lord repented that he set up Saul does not mean that he regretted his actions, since he does not alter his purpose. Rather, it means that he is changing his method of achieving the same purpose. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? As we are aware, Saul was the Lord's elect, and therefore Samuel grieving for Saul all night is to show us that as the Lord's elect, we do not take lightly when our brothers and sisters miss the mark of the Lord's higher calling. In other words, we are overwhelmed with grief when our brothers and sisters, they miss the way. David mourning for Jonathan's death give us a glimpse of how we feel when our brothers and sisters fall away. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. How are the mighty falling in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I'm distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Saul leaving Carmel and moving on to Gilgal implies that when we fall away, We leave Carmel, meaning the orchard of God or the church of the Lord's elect, and go to Gilgal, which in the negative sense means ruling or wandering about. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13 to 15. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Saul's insistence that he had performed the commandments of the Lord is to make us aware that our brothers and sisters who fall away are not given the place of repentance, just as Esau found no place of repentance, though he sought for it carefully with tears. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 to 17. Looking diligently, lest any man feel the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he had found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen in the ears of Samuel is to make us know that our sins are plain before the Lord. Therefore, we cannot hide from our sins. In verse 15, Saul was trying to justify his action by saying that he kept the sheep and the oxen for sacrifice to the Lord. As indicated in the introductory session, our partial obedience is regarded in the sight of the Lord as outright disobedience. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord's way, the spirit. Our prayer is therefore to ask the Lord to search our hearts and see if there's any wicked way in us, so that he will lead us in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O Lord, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 16 to 20. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. What the Lord said about Saul in verse 17, that when he was little in his own sight, he anointed him as king, is the same as saying that in time past, we walked according to the desires of the flesh. However, in God's mercy, he came and lifted us up to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our task as the Lord's elect or future kings of the earth is that in this age, we must overcome the carnal mind of our flesh, just as Saul was tasked by the Lord to destroy the Amalekites. However, many who are called to become kings, like Saul, are not able to wholly destroy the flesh, and therefore they lose their kingship or crown, as we shall see later in this study. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no one, no man take thy crown." As indicated in verse 20, Saul was not given repentance as he continued to insist that he had obeyed the Lord. Just as many who fall away find no place of repentance in this age. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. "For you know how that afterwards, when he, that is Esau, would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." 1 Samuel 15, verses 21 to 23. "But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king." The people taking the spoil, sheep and oxen in verse 21, to present them as sacrifice to the Lord instead of destroying them implies that many of the Lord's children are derailed from the goal of becoming overcomers of their flesh by the love of money or mammon, which they think will help them to worship or offer a better sacrifice to the Lord. A look at the leadership of the church system of this world or Babylon shows how the love of money has caused them to err from the faith and have therefore pierced themselves through, and they have therefore pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 to 10. "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." In verse 22, we are told that obedience is better than sacrifice, and that to pay attention is better than the fat of rams. We demonstrate our love to the Lord by our obedience to his word. Therefore, our obedience to the Lord is what governs our relationship with Christ. Without obedience, all our effort in the house of the Lord is vain. John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The fat of rams represents the transient nature of the riches of this world, or mammon. Therefore, paying attention to what the Lord says cannot be compared with the riches of this world, which many in this world, including our brothers and sisters in Babylon, are coveting. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In verse 23, we are told that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is the same as transgression or sinning against the Lord, as shown in the following verse. Joshua chapter 22, verse 22. The Lord God of gods, he knows, and Israel he shall know. If it be in rebellion or in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. Witchcraft means divination, which means seeking advice from false prophets in our day. This implies that sinning against the Lord is the same as seeking advice from false prophets. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, "For there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." It is insightful to note that stubbornness in verse 23 is the same as iniquity and idolatry. Iniquity means trusting in our own righteousness. Ezekiel 33:13. "When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it." Idolatry, therefore, means paying attention to the false idols of our hearts and mind, which are the false doctrines in our heaven, instead of the truth of the Lord's word. This suggests that being stubborn in the biblical sense has to do with rejecting the righteousness of the Lord in pursuit of the false doctrines in our hearts and mind. All of these disqualify us from reigning with Christ in an age to come. There are many who have refused the multitude of counsel from our elders by trusting the false doctrines in their hearts and mind. As a result, the crown has been taken away from them. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1 to 4 says, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Shall I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus says the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that set up his idols in his heart and put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols." 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 24 and 25. "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words, because I fear the people and obey their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." Finally, Saul admitted to Samuel that he had sinned. However, as stated earlier, he could not find a place of repentance. This is because repentance is a fundamental change of mind, heart, and direction, which involves a sincere turning away from sin towards God. While repentance can involve confession of sin, it is distinguished from mere regret or confession of sin, focusing instead on the actual turning from sin and embracing righteousness. In the case of Saul, his confession of sinning did not mean that he had repented. He did that so that Samuel would honor him before the elders and the people of Israel by accompanying him to worship the Lord. Acts chapter 26, verse 19 to 20 says, "Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declare first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing this in keeping with their repentance." So repentance is not just confessing your sins that you have sinned. It's turning to God and performing this in keeping with their repentance. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13. "Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God." So this shows why Saul then decided that, okay, I have sinned, but I just want you to go before me, with me, so that, I will be honored before the elders and the people of Israel. That is not repentance. That's why we say that he found no place of repentance, just like Esau. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 26 to 28. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and has given it unto thy neighbor, and to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Saul's refusal to obey fully the commandment of the Lord cost him the rulership. Verses 27 and 28 show us one of the principles that help us to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom by the things that are made. Saul interpreted the tearing of the skirt of his mantle when Saul laid hold of it to mean that the kingdom of Israel has been taken away from Saul and given to his neighbor, who is better than him. The things that are made, including our mundane activities, which in this case refers to the tearing of the skirt of what do you call it? Samuel's cloak. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being made, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's a great principle. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29 to 31. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. For he is not a God that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Verse 29 affirms our earlier assertion that the Lord repenting for setting up Saul as king does not mean that he has repented from his actions. It shows that he is changing his method of achieving the same goal. Verse 30 emphasized the point that Saul was not repentant of his action, even though he confessed to Samuel of sinning. Saul's confession was to make Samuel honor him by going with him before the elders and the people. Samuel going with Saul in verse 31 is to show us that we are not to dishonor our brothers and sisters who fall along the way before the Lord's people. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 32 to 35. Then says Samuel, bring you here to me, Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his place to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Samuel. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he has made Saul king of Israel. It is Jesus who was the first to overcome the flesh. Here in verse 32, Samuel.
Oh, how cute. We used to have one. We just lost him. Yeah.
Okay, it was Jesus who was the first to overcome the flesh. Here in verse 32, Samuel represents Jesus, our Lord, who showed us how we are to be ruthless in our dealing with our flesh, that is King Agag. In verse 33, we are shown that it is the flesh which has made the church system of this world not able to bear fruits of producing the Lord's elect. In this age, it is the church of the Lord's elect which seems to be barren. However, in the fullness of time, it will become obvious to everyone that it is the church system of this world with many children who is rather barren. Galatians chapter 4, verse 20 to 27. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, thou bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. It is important to note that Samuel healed Agag in pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. It was in Gilgal that the Israelites entered the promised land with. The Israelites who entered the promised land were circumcised, that is, the cutting off of their flesh. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2 to 9, verse 2 to and 3, and then from verse 8 and 9. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of their foreskins. And it came to pass, that verse 8, when they had done circumcising all the children, all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Samuel and Saul going their separate ways said that Samuel did not see Saul again till he died, is to show us that we cannot have fellowship with our brothers and sisters who fall away. This is because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you won't be none otherwise minded. But he that trouble you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. May the Lord continue to destroy everything of the flesh within us through his judgment as we see the day approaching. Amen.